welcome Jay Patterson. He's going to be preaching the word today.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Good. Oops. That didn't do what I thought I was going to do. Well, welcome to this third installment of the Head First Christianity series that we've been working on. I'm very excited today to talk with you about this because this is something that has been burning in my heart for a long time, burning in Brandon's heart, and in many of ours as well. So getting into this today has been a lot of fun. This is the first installment in the series where you will not see a music video. Especially music videos that don't have words associated with them, so you have no idea what we're saying up there. Who enjoyed that rap video last week? Who did not enjoy that rap video last week? We're building transgenerationally here, and Brandon did a good job of pointing out that there is a sound in this earth that's going forth that is being heard by multiple generations. And that was an echo of that sound in that generation. Okay? I know all these guys up front loved that music video. Actually, Hunter is wearing a shirt. Hunter, stand up and turn around so everybody can see you. 116 is a band, it's a group that put this thing on display, and it's excellent to see these men standing up looking for how they can follow the Father in the works that he is doing in this time, in this generation. So praise God for that. And that thing is being transmitted here within us and within our community locally. Brandon alluded last week to a group of men that got together last weekend to start talking about biblical manhood in a sense that's bridging across the denominations in our area. I went to that meeting and Frank Calkins was there. We loved what we were hearing in that place because it was other men from other denominations, not privy to the stream that we've been soaking in here, but we're recognizing those same things are being released in other parts of our community. And they all had pieces of things that we've been talking out about. And the Lord's allowing us to come together in this time. Now, there are 14 men in that group. 14 men in that group. And we called this a conference. But I want to call to your attention something that was very interesting. The leader, one of the leaders of this group, who's a man that I highly revere, said that they've been looking to see whether or not they should wait until they had more funds to advertise for this thing more, or put more out so they could get more men together, get a bigger speaker in. But the Lord said, no, move forward now. And they honored that. And they said, whether we get 300 men in here or three, we want men who have a heart after God to start this thing in our community. And that's who was there. There were 14 men there that have a heart hungry after God and what he wants to do through men in this time and in this season. Praise God for that. That's something that's been going on. So like I said, this is the third message in this series. It's a five-part series, and it was initiated on Father's Day. The Lord put it on my heart to start talking about head-first Christianity. We're recapturing that vernacular. We think about head-first Christianity as the logic, but he's talking about head-first Christianity as far as us as men moving forward first to instantiate this kingdom culture of Father and Son here in time and space. God's moving on this. So this series is meant to call men up to participate in joining what God is doing right now. Now, there's a term that came out there. It's called the kephale. And kephale, as we described, is different than archaic. I'm going back through re-summarizing in case some of you have not seen this series yet. But the kephale is the one who leads by going first. He is really the leader by example. And it follows in this order. God is the kephale of Christ. Christ is the kephale of man. Man is the kephale of woman. All right? So in that sense, men, as we're leading our families, we're not leading by dominance. We're not leading by dominion. We're leading by example as we are following example. So we're going to get into some of more of these things now, but I'm going to save a little bit for later. So last week, Brandon talked to us about a brotherhood of fathers. And he used this term, the ex patres fraternitatum. There's weight to this brotherhood of fathers. We're talking about a community of men moving forward. So again, this message is addressed specifically to the men here. But ladies, I want you to be listening to what's going on here. Because if this is a culture that is supposed to be a framework for the culture that God is building, that's something for you to participate in. We're calling men to go forward first in this and to lead by example. But you are to follow in that example. Okay, so this isn't just to the men. It's being addressed to the men specifically today. But please look to see how God can move in you on these things too. Because it's the same. The fathers. And Brandon brought in this culture of the Marine Corps and stood these things up next to each other. And did a great job, often in a very uncanny way, of talking about the maturation process that we go through as believers and Marine Corps boot camp, right? And no one can talk about Marine Corps boot camp like a Marine can, right? I loved how he brought us through talking about how our old identity gets stripped away and we're built up in a new identity to where we know who we are, we have confidence in who we are, who and what we represent. It was an excellent description of that. Now, if you've only viewed this series right now, I recommend that you get back into the YouTube channel that we have and start back at the first one, because the building series that we're talking about here. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel, because it's great to see what's coming out. We all go all different places. Some of us aren't here. But to get that pop-up where you can go and watch a what God's doing. So I really encourage you for that. So Brandon to the Marine Corps last week. Honor, courage, and commitment. He did a really good job talking about those. And I was looking this week to dig deeper into each one of those, but God had a different plan and he messed up my plan. So we'll go with that. Now Brandon also said last week, so this is my out to myself. He said, you know, this Marine Corps has this culture, it has these values, and they hold the Marine Corps up to this high standard, as the standard of what a fighting force is to the world. He says, but perhaps we as men and we as believers are held to an even higher standard. And he's right. He's right. There are things that undergird this whole thing that we're going to talk about today. So, what is the culture that we're trying to build here? What is this culture? We talk about this culture of brothers. We talk about this culture of fathers and sons. We're talking about the king's culture. It's the culture of the kingdom. So we have to look back and see what this culture of the kingdom is, because we're instantiating this thing as a framework. Now, the culture of the kingdom originates with the king. Right, the king doesn't conform to the culture of his kingdom. The culture of the kingdom conforms to the nature and character of the king. When a king comes into power and he comes into reign, things shift in his kingdom because the culture follows what is coming through the head of that culture. So we've got to look at the nature and character of our king. Our king, our father, is a ruler. And he brings forth a culture of rule. So he anticipates that we will also bring forth that culture of rule into the earth. Now, rule is a word that kind of gets us a little bit scared, right? Because again, we've had experience with orphans ruling. And orphans rule for themselves. They rule for the benefit of themselves. to the detriment of everyone else. They rule for survival. Right? They rule for survival. But a righteous ruler rules for the benefit of those who are subject to his rule. He rules all the way down to the innocents who have nothing that they can do for themselves. In order to do that well, there's certain values, certain things that we have to settle within ourselves as God's sons to be able to rule on his behalf in time and space, to rule as he rules. These are heart attitudes. These are heart characteristics. These are things that shape and form the foundation of how we move in time and space. So I'm going to attempt today to pull together some pieces that have been brought to us in recent times. Okay? They're going to sound familiar to you if you've been listening to what God's been doing as we've been talking about building in maturity and growing in maturity. So for the most part, these are going to be very familiar to us, okay? Because it's about us becoming mature sons, being fathers, putting the culture of our king on display. Now, in each one of these characteristics, I'm going to define them specifically, but you'll see that they kind of bleed into one another. And that's not too surprising. This is an integral thing. It's more of an organic look at things. But what we're going to be talking about is going to stand in stark contrast to the culture of this world. Okay. The first value and the most important value that we as sons are to bring forth is a value of love. Love. That's the most important thing, right? So a little over a month ago, I taught a message on maturity and love, the relationship between those two. So in it, love was identified as foundational to everything we do. Not just foundational, something that we build upon, but foundational in a way that is pervasive in everything that we do. Everything. Love has to be in everything. It has to be the motivation for what we do. And why is this so essential? Because God's nature is love. God is love. Our Father is love. Everything he does is to our benefit. And I'm ringing. Do I need to lift this up a little bit? Okay. All right. Ultimately, our level of maturity can be gauged by our capacity to love. Our demonstrated capacity to love. So not just the things that I intend to do to love, but what how I demonstrate love. That's walking this thing out. Now, guys, I'm not talking about mushy, gushy love here. We start talking about love, I'm losing about 50% of the guys, right? No, this is not mushy-gushy love. This isn't hearts and flowers and roses type of love. This is love that conquers, right? This is love that conquers. This is perfect love, the type of love that casts out fear, right? This isn't about being sweet or being a really nice guy. Right? This is love that conquers. It's love that is poured out in groanings, in sacrifice, in death to yourself. Like Brandon said last week, I love this. It's when you crawl up on the altar and die. Right? This is painful type of love because it's giving of yourself. And it says God loved the world so much that he gave. When he required Abraham to sacrifice his son, he didn't let Abraham do it. He didn't let him do it. But he did it. He did allow his son to crawl up on the altar, and he did allow him to die. He gave of himself for us. He proved his love, and he's still proving his love. So the love I'm talking about is that 1 Corinthians type of love. It's patient, kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. I see the opposite of that in much of our culture. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. How many of us men are easily angered? How many of us people are easily angered? We see things and God just sets us off. Doesn't keep record of wrongs. I've done that. It doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. Listen to this, guys. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. It never fails. This type of love is unconditional. It is unconditional love. You know what that means? That means you love those that are in your sphere of influence. Everybody that comes in contact with you, you show them love, whether they receive it or whether they give it back to you or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's without condition. That's pervasive love. If we're to represent our Father, then we're to love like He does. And He loved us before we loved Him. So that should be reflected in our life. What better example do we have than Jesus? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He says that His command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That's His command to us. Holy cow. You see, the Father showed His love through His Son, Jesus, and He intends to continue to show His love to the world through His sons. That's all of us. So He shows His love through us by us abiding in His love. And how do we do that? How do we show love to God? We obey His commands. We do what He tells us to do. And last night we had this harvest festival downstairs. And Master Shim was there. Who knows Master Shim? Master Shim is fantastic. That man has an amazing way to discipline people in the moment. It is incredible. He just brings discipline with him everywhere he goes. And when somebody steps out of line, it's almost nonchalantly. He puts them right back and sets the boundaries around them and says, this is what you'll do now. And then he continues on. And they do. People say, okay, now I know what I'm supposed to do. That man just carries with him an essence of order. I love it. I absolutely love it. And last night he was teaching our kids by them breaking boards. And the boards that they were breaking were bad mentalities. They were sinful nature things. They're characteristics that God comes after. And they are breaking these things. It's such a prophetic action. But our kids were doing that right there. And one of the things he had them break the board on was disobedience. And I loved it. This is when you don't listen to your teachers, you don't listen to your parents, you don't listen to God. These are things that we have to learn from a very young age. Obedience starts with listening to those who are in charge of you. Why? So that you grow in understanding that you need to listen to and obey your Father God. It's amazing. An amazing job. So if we're going to talk about the values that we're supposed to put on display in this culture of fathers and sons and brothers, then love is the chief and most important value. Because if you don't get this one down, it's like it says in 1 Corinthians 13, then nothing else matters. If you just skip to the next ones I'm going to talk about, and don't deal with this, nothing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're doing nice things. So, we talk about obeying His commands. That brings us to our next core value. It's one that all of us guys really like to hear about. This word is submission. Submission. What man wants to be known as submissive? Right? Remember, I was a wrestler. Heather, I got one over here. I was a wrestler, and we were always talking about getting the other guy to submit. You're wrestling him to the ground. And there's moves that are called the submission moves, right? They're the ones that are so painful you couldn't handle it and you tap out, right? Submission. We don't want to be submissive as men because that shows weakness, right? Wrong. Submission actually shows strength in this situation. Submission is recognizing that you don't have the answers. You're submitting to your king. You're obeying his commands. And he doesn't ask you to do easy things, by the way. He's really good at asking you to do hard things, things that you know you don't measure up to. But God's got a purpose for us in all of this. Remember, he's trying to put himself on display. So your will has to become conformed to his in order for him to be put on display. Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." That means that he is radiating glory. And that radiance is felt in the earth through his sons. His pattern son is Jesus. But when Jesus prayed for us all in John 17, he asked that the same glory that was put on him would be put on us. So he handed things off to us. Remember, God's the kephale of Christ. Christ is the kephale of man. And man is the kephale of the woman. Submission. We like the verse that, as men, that says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." Right? A woman should be submitting to a man who is in himself in submission to God. A woman will follow a man who's following Christ. So when you come and you get high and mighty with all the things that you want to bring into the earth, and you tell her to submit to your rule, you're out of line. Step in line, get in alignment with who Jesus is and what he's telling you to do. It's not easy stuff. The Father is seen in the earth through his activity, through the activity of his sons. And that activity will show the nature of the Father. You see, submission is about us being willing to let God move through us. God moves through the earth through his sons. And when he moves, he moves with his glory. Remember when God, when Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God says, "All right, I'm going to show you my goodness." God's glory is his goodness. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy. That's how he rules. Goodness, kindness, and mercy. As men, we want to know, what is the thing that I need to do? Just tell me what I need to do, and I'm going to go do it, right? We want to be doers. We want to do something for God. When really, submission is about God doing things through you. God doing good through you. You've got to be in accurate alignment for that to happen. This isn't a self-generated idea. I'm going to do these things and I'll get my check in the box. It's God said do this and I did that. And it didn't make any sense, but I did it. We got to come to that place where we say, "Not my will, but yours." And that comes from surrender. Remember we talked about surrender?